467, first and last. Verses
1 and 3
of 98. To God be the glory.
Thank you.
Okay, and one more. Anyone?
How about 371?
Verses 1 and 5, 371, which is...
I stand in the presence. Yes, thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful, as always. Thank you very much. Well, welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We're glad you're all here to worship with us this morning. If there are any first-time visitors, we want to extend a warm welcome to you. And we hope that the message and worship service today will be inspirational for you. You'll find red pads in the pews to register your attendance here today. We would ask you to fill those out and help us keep a record of attendance here. There are also blue cards for prayer requests, which you can fill out, and those will be addressed by our prayer team. We'd like to invite everyone to come after the service to come over to the fellowship hall across the breezeway and have coffee and refreshments with us and a little bit of fellowship. We hope that you will stay for a few minutes after the service and become better acquainted with some of your fellow parishioners here. Well, and we have a plethora of announcements here. The August newsletter is available in the narthex, but you can contact the office if you have an email address and you would like to read it online, or if you want to get one in the mail, but you could also pick it up at the church. And we have a variety of birthdays here in July. July is filled with picnics, parties, games and fun, good times, friends and laughter in the sizzling summer sun. Your birthday's just as special as fireworks in the night. May all your days and years be filled with pure delight. And we have our July birthday people listed here: Alita, David Moore, Ralph Snook, Tracy Brown, Linda Crabtree, Perry Wai, Mary Brubaker, and Young Char. Happy birthday to all of our July people. And we are known as the Cereal Church. Donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other food items anytime to help. We will bring it to, at the end of the month, we will bring it to ICSC so that they can distribute to families in need in our area. Please sign up for the next Pastor's Lunch, which will be on Wednesday, August 16th at 12 noon at the Legend 8 Chinese Restaurant in Kalamasa. The cost is $15 per person. That's gone down a little bit, yay. If you need transportation, please contact Pastor Phillips or Lauren in the church office. Hearts Grow. The second and fourth Sundays, children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. Parents are welcome. A fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages using the arts to connect us to our Creator. It's held in the children's church room. We will have a very special movie on August 5th at 11 a.m., A Man Called Otto. Otto is a grump who's given up on life following the loss of his wife, and he wants to end it all. When a young family moves in nearby, he meets his match in quick-witted Marisol, leading to a friendship that will turn his world around. It's a very good movie. I've seen that. I recommend it. Okay, and we have a new project going, a Samaritan's Purse Christmas Shoebox for children. And here is an example of what it looks like right here. You can pick up one of these over in the fellowship hall. To fill this up with items and a little bit of cash, it says please include a $10 cash donation in each box to cover costs, but it's supposed to be for supplies for boys and girls gifts ages 2 to 4 years, 5 to 9 years, and 10 to 14 years. The boxes are due back by November 5th, so if you can get involved in this little project, it certainly would be helpful to to spread, you know, the love of Christ in this manner. And today at 11 a.m., there's going to be some food while you watch and discuss The Chosen. The series is a fresh new take on Jesus and his disciples, written in the style of a historical novel to give an authentic experience of the Jewish culture, the Roman occupation, and how Jesus came and turned the world upside down to bring God's kingdom to the earth. That'll be over in the fellowship hall. After our fellowship time, you can stay and watch The Chosen. If you'd like to sign up, be a volunteer to bring some of the food and snacks for The Chosen, we need three people to sign up to bring food each week. There is a sign-up sheet with a food category for each week at the script table. And thank you for helping out. How many more weeks will this go, Deb?
Until October 1st.
So we need some volunteers to help provide food for each week until October 1st. And is that the end of our announcement? Anyone else have any special announcements to make? All right, then please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he be not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, death, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay, and it's time to sing our first hymn of the morning. It's number 724. We'll sing verses 1-3 of How Great Thou Art.
From Lord.
I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Before you sit down again, it's time for passing of the peace, so greet your neighbors nearby to you and And as you return to your seats, it's now time for our joys and concerns. Deb is coming with the microphone, and if anyone has a joy or concern they would like to share, now is your chance.
Oh, Deb, I got one. I got my own microphone.
Go for it.
Yeah. My wife's having some bad headaches again. I think it's from the fires and stuff going on, so please pray for her. Thank you.
I talked to Jerry yesterday, and Peggy's doing much better. I think he's anxious. He's not used to being away from her, but they're supposed to x-ray her leg this week, and if everything's healed, they'll be taking the cast off, and then hopefully she'll go home with some therapy. I have a concern. I have a cousin from the area. She asked not for her name to be mentioned, but she underwent 2 weeks ago a radical bilateral mastectomy, and they thought that they got all the cancer, and come to find out they didn't, so she will be going back in for some more surgery. So if you just keep her in prayer. And then if everybody will come meet me over in the fellowship hall and give me your emergency contact or where we can get our paperwork started here, to where if something was to happen to you, we know who to get a hold of. Some of you may not have been here a little over right at a month ago. Peg fell, and it was very difficult because no one had an emergency contact. The only reason why I did is I grew up with the Avons for over 50 years, but there's a lot of you that are seniors here that are widowers, that if something was to happen to you, to where we have a number to get help or contact for you. I just think it's very important. Thank you.
I have a joy. We had parents' night out on Friday, and there were a dozen kids and a bunch of other adults that hung around, and we had about 18 people here. We went through 300 water balloons, And then the kids had a contest for who could pick up the most of those little water balloon bits to get a prize. So that worked really well. But we had a lot of fun, and you can see a lot of the pictures in the newsletter and in the announcements. So we just had a great time. And the e-waste, this was my daughter's idea, so blame her. The e-waste drive went really, really well, and we had a lot of fun and a lot of sweat at Hello Dolly last night, but the production was excellent. And I want to wish a special happy birthday to Mary and to Young, because Young's birthday is today. So, and Mary's was yesterday? Your birthday was yesterday? Yeah. Oh, today. Yours is today, too? Oh, you share. That's nice. Well, happy birthday, both of you.
I've got a joy from the news this morning on Channel 5. The Dodgers today are celebrating Faith and Family Day. Hallelujah for that. The two most foundational things that built this country. And Clayton Kershaw, the pitcher that's making a lot of money with that left arm of his, he spearheaded this, bringing it back. They had it before, but through the pandemic and other things, it fell to the side. But he brought it back, and he did a promotion for it on the news this morning, Clayton Kershaw. So I remember reading a book called Democracy in America. It was written by a Frenchman in 1845. He came to this country trying to discover what made this country great and building forward. And in his book, he said he found the strength of this country in its churches.
Amen for that.
I would like to report an unbelievable joy. My sister's nephew, who had multiple myeloma cancer several months back, I talked about it and about him. He had his own stem cells extracted and treated with chemo and reinserted, and the testing they did about 2 weeks ago found him with no evidence of disease. Prayers are answered.
Anybody on Zoom, please raise your hand.
All right, now please join us in our unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus,
God, I know that I am a sinner, and the wages of sin are death. I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as a payment for my punishment. I declare that Jesus is my Lord and profess my faith for salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for your grace, forgiveness, peace, and gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now for our silent prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here together today. Thank you for everything that you've done for us and the many blessings that you give us and the many blessings that you give us every day, even though we don't even know it. Thank you for taking care of things before we even ask. So you know the past, present, future. Thank you for all the signs and wonders that you are showing in this church, the healing. We put everything before you so that, you know, we accept your power, your healing power, dear God. Today, as well as from now on, we just open ourselves to your spirit and whatever message that you have for us, dear Lord. Speak through me and Let's speak through each other as we upbuild each other. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for blessing us. And now we'll pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now it's time for Young at Heart Moments with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is You See Me, God, inspired by Psalm 139. Written by Jan Spivey Gilchrist. You made me in your image, black and beautiful and blessed, full of your powerful promise. You knew me before I knew myself. You saw me tight like a balloon inside my mother. Ready to fill the world with my colors. You know what I love and what I fear. You see me everywhere. I cannot hide from you. You saw me when I cracked and broke into tiny pieces. You knew my legs would break. You knew I would fall. You found me when I was scared and lost. You knew how to help me. You knew I would one day stand tall. You heard me call out from my darkness. You knew that I would. You see me everywhere, and you are always with me. You are always with me. You lifted me. You will guide me. You help me share your love with others. Your thoughts are wonderful to me. I live my life in peace every day. Because I know you see me. Lord, you see my heart. You know what I think. You know all about me. You see me everywhere. You know what I say. You know how I live. You created me inside my mother's body. How you have made me is wonderful. Help me to live in the right way. Paraphrase of selected verses from Psalm 139. The end. May we live in peace with God connected to us. May we always be aware of his presence. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 57, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, verses 1 through 3.
Music in the sinner's and health and peace.
Now this morning's scripture reading is from the book of Romans, 1, verses 1 through 7 and 16 through 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's saving power for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, how's everybody doing today? All right. Hey, could you turn that down a little bit? It's kind of messing with my head. Yeah, thanks. Everybody still hear me? All right, good. Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the Roman road to salvation. It's a way to witness to people. It's a way to evangelize. Also, it's a way to affirm our faith and build our faith. Many religions in the world, as a chaplain, which I'm Stephen Mickle, I'm sheriff's chaplain. Before that, I was a military chaplain. But I've read about just about all the religions, you know, Islam, Buddhism, you name it, I've tried to read it. And there's nothing this profound in any other religion. Yeah, so next slide. All right, so Anna and Simon. Simon was an elderly man. You know, back then you only lived to be about 40, so he was probably 41. No, I'm just kidding. But he was hanging in there. He was going to stay alive because there's something God told him in a dream or something that he was going to get to see the Messiah. And so he hung out at the temple all the time because the Messiah is supposed to come to the temple. That's why a lot of the Orthodox Jews are in a hurry to build the temple to encourage a Messiah to come and bring about world peace before everything gets too messed up. But they believed the same way back then. So they hung out at the temple because God revealed to him, that the Messiah was coming. So he said, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people in Israel. That woman next to him, she's also Anna the prophetess. It looks like they're husband and wife, but it didn't say they were. Maybe boyfriend, girlfriend, I don't know. But she was a prophetess, and so she reaffirmed everything he said, and she went around the temple and said, yeah, this is really the Messiah. This baby's really the Messiah, and he's come here to save everybody. Next slide. All right, well, there is a problem. As Jesus said, first I'm going to come to the Jews, then I'm going to come to the Gentiles. So for the Jews first, then the Gentiles. Well, the first Gentiles, as I've said before in other sermons, first Gentiles to encounter Jesus were Romans, but they were voluntold. They weren't volunteered to see Jesus. Every time there was some kind of crowd or something, they had to come around and monitor things because you had people like Simon the Zealot. My little girl's in martial arts, and so when she sees him on a Chosen doing his kata and stuff. She likes that. She thinks that's cool. She kind of made a face when he threw his sword away, but hey. But, so Roman soldiers didn't know what was going on. They didn't know if the zealots were going to stir things up or other people. They didn't know that. So they had to go out and watch over with the crowds and everything to make sure everything's going to be okay. So they started seeing some of the miracles Jesus did too. So after a while, and then when everything happened, Jesus died. Normally Romans would get killed if a body was stolen from a tomb they were guarding. But the Jews, the Pharisees said, hey, we're going to pay off the Roman rulers and stuff. And hey, don't kill these guys because we don't want anybody to know the body was taken. Oh, so guess what soldiers do? They're like, they tell war stories, right? It's like, and there I was. You know, usually they're about a battle or something, but they're like, there I was. There was a flash of lightning. And then when I woke up again, the stone was rolled away. And the other soldiers are like, no, I use other stuff, but they're like, no kidding. And, you know, and so that's how things started spreading about Jesus. Next slide. Apostle Paul was one of those Pharisees that didn't like Christians. He had Christians killed because they were breaking God's law. They were saying, hey, this man, you know, that died and somehow they stole the body, he's our Lord and Savior, and they're worshiping him, and that's blasphemy. They're even converting a lot of the Jews. And so we got to stop this because he followed the letter of the law. Apostle Paul followed the letter of the law because that's how you did it. And if you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of laws to follow. And then they've added interpretations on top of it now. It's called the Talmud. And so there's a whole lot of law. They study that a lot. They don't study the prophets as much because it takes a lot of time to study the law to get close to God. You know, and that's how God set it up. God set up a way to get close to him, but he said, someday I'm going to come and make it where you don't have to do that. And so Apostle Paul was going out to look for some more Christians to kill. And you know the story. He fell off his horse and he met Jesus as a bright light and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so actually the Lord told him to go see the Christians that he was persecuting. You know, and they prayed for him because he was blinded for 3 days. And the scales fell off his eyes. And so Saul becomes Paul. But then God had a mission for him. He was a guy that was very legalistic, you know, very orthodox. You had to follow the letter of the law to get close to God. You had to eat certain things and do certain things. And if you didn't, you might become unclean. Then you couldn't even go to the temple for a few days until you had the right ceremonies and everything. He was here to enforce that. But God changed his mission. Next slide. So he realized, you know, when he was healed and when he had that experience, he realized that the death of Jesus ended the law. When Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, I always like to throw that in there. I don't like to leave it where he's just on the cross. But that ended the law. Next slide. So I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who considers it unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. So Apostle Paul said Christianity is going to eat bacon, right? That was one of the favorite foods of the Romans, pigs. That's why the Sumerians were raising pigs to sell to the Romans. They weren't as strict as the regular Jews. Sumerians were Jews, though. But so God showed the Apostle Paul that getting to know God was now an eternal thing. In a book of John, when it starts out, you know, in the beginning, the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. It goes on, and it talks about we were in the age of the law, but now we're in the age of grace. And so before, it was an external thing, and follow the law. And a lot of Christians, they go back for generations now, that were Jews that have become Christians. A lot of them still follow the rules and the laws, but they've accepted Jesus. You know, so they don't think if they accidentally eat pork, they're going to, you know, get struck by lightning or anything. But there's a group of Christians, Messianic Christians, that's what they are. And then there's a lot of Christians that want to become Messianic Jews, which, I don't know, that makes it harder, I think, to be a Christian. But Apostle Paul said, you know, you don't have to follow the letter of the law anymore. You don't have to do it anymore. But a lot of people in jail, they say they're Jews so they can get a better diet. So we called up a Leaf University in Florida. They got a record of every Jew in the world, no matter where they live, you know, from the Horn of Africa to Japan, China. Every Jew in the world that's officially a Jew, they have a record of it. And they said, guess what? There's no Jews in San Bernardino County jail system. But yeah, okay. All right, next slide. Just trying to keep people awake. Trying to keep me awake. So here's the Roman road. I got it. The ones I give the inmates. I just give them a one pager. Hey, this is good, Deb. I mean, you could still read this, even though it's smaller. But this is a step. It's a cheat sheet. Step to a Roman road. When you witness to people, you know, you can talk with people. I mean, I do it in jail. So some people are like, hey, God's never going to forgive me. And I'm like, don't say that. Just ask him. He'll do it. He has to because he said he would. Jesus said that if you ask, call upon my name, I will forgive you. So he has to. He doesn't go back on his word. Next slide. So Apostle Paul had to talk to the Romans. Romans didn't know anything about the law. The Jewish Christians did, so they're, you know, you didn't really need a New Testament. They used all the books in the Old Testament, and they used it to you know, affirm their faith about the prophecies of the Messiah and what would happen when the Messiah came. And so the Christian Jews didn't really need the New Testament or anything. So most of the New Testament, other than the Gospels, you know, they wrote the Gospels so that it could be handed down what Jesus did. But most of the rest of the New Testament is written to the Gentiles. It's written to those Roman soldiers that got saved first. They started wanting to know about Cornelius. You know, the Jews didn't even voluntarily at first go to the Roman soldiers. But there's one named Cornelius, the first Gentile that ever became a Christian. How many people in here are Jewish? All right, because of Cornelius, we're all in church right now. He's the first Christian that was Gentile. And he didn't even ask anybody to come see him. He just prayed to God and he believed and saw things Jesus did. Not sure if he was really a Christian or not, but God said, go see Cornelius. He told Peter to go see Cornelius. And Peter's like, I'm Jewish. I can't go see this guy. Even though Peter was Christian, you know, he thought it was just for the Jews, just like everything else. And God said, no, you go there. Peter was afraid he might get something to eat because that was unclean. And, you know, God gave him a dream about sheep falling down with animals on it. And God says, take and eat. Everything I made is clean. And Peter's like, okay, well, how much more is Cornelius if God tells me, Jesus tells me to go see this guy, witness to him? So his whole family accepted Christ. First name, Gentile. Apostle Paul's like, how do I explain this to a Romans? They're not going to want to eat just kosher food. They're not going to want to wear the little caps and stuff. The Romans are like, what? We have to become Jews. Yeah, Apostle Paul knew that wouldn't work, and God told him it wouldn't. And so the Apostle Paul, among many books, he wrote the book of Romans. He also wrote the book of Hebrews, which connects the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, to make people understand more. And then several other books. But he wrote the book of Romans. And he was saying, you know, basically, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so people are without excuse. So he's basically saying you don't have to be a Jew to have exclusive rights to God. You can see God exists throughout all creation. You could see God exist. And also later on in Romans, it talks about you already know right from wrong because God puts it in our hearts and communicates with everybody, you know, whether they're a Jew or not. So Romans also can understand God. Next slide. So accepting God as creator, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him because their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so even though God was revealed to Gentiles, yeah, they became foolish because they wanted to do their own thing. And so they wanted to do their own thing. And so, you know, just like everybody, even the Jews, everybody's rejected God. Everybody's rejected God because we always want to do our own thing. A lot of times I want to do, you know, Chaplain Pastor Mickle wants to do his own thing. You know, we're always doing that. That's why God says, hey, you know, Lord's Prayer, forgiveness. He says, yeah, it's a model of prayer. And He says to pray for forgiveness every day. Because we're always trying to drift away. And without God, we become foolish. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, right? Basically, Apostle Paul's telling the Romans, God's been with them all along. God's been speaking to them all along. And here's how you accept God. Next slide. So, all are sinners. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter who you are, criminal, atheist, Christian, minister, nobody is good. We've all sinned. And guess what? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But guess what? We know we're Christians. Guess what? We're still sinners because we're sinners come to Christ. So we're always going to be sinners even though we're saved until we become glorified. Next slide. Oh, there's an album too. Sally Hilder. That sums it up too. All my friends are sinners. Everybody's sinners, right? She was like in 1978, she made that album in high school. So she was like the Taylor Swift of Christian music. Check it out. Hey, in like new condition, they're $30 for the vinyl. Now, nobody's paying me anything for this. Okay, next slide. Okay, so God loves us. God loves everybody. He was telling even the Roman soldiers that, you know, beat Jesus almost to death before they crucified Him and then later on realized something strange was going on. Hey, they were ordered to do all that anyhow. He did. So God loves us. So even for them, Apostle Paul is saying He died for you, not just for the Jews. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this is what's so profound about our Christian faith. It's because there's other... I was talking with a Hindu one time, and they're like, oh, Jesus is your name of God, because there's many names of God. But that was one of... Some Hindus are more monotheistic. And God's come many times, you know. It's called an avatar. And so they're like, yeah, Jesus was one of the Brahma's avatars, you know, or whatever. But no matter what religion, you don't see this going on, you know, because they're always like, even in Islam, you know, they say they believe in Jesus. He's one of the prophets. But then it was either an angel. It depends on which part of the Quran you read. But it's either an angel or Judas that died on a cross for Jesus. Because they say God doesn't have to do that. There's no way God would do anything like that. There's no way God would become a man and walk among us. And if He did that, which He doesn't even have to do that, why would God do that? God's up in heaven. He's not interested in coming to earth. You have to go to God. Whereas in our faith, God comes to us. God comes to us, makes it easy for us to accept Him. And the way He does that is He changed things around. There's some metaphysical qualities about sacrifice and blood, but it had to be renewed constantly. Had to be renewed. When somebody sinned, they'd have to take an offering once a year, the Day of Atonement, you know, where everybody that didn't follow God would be cut off. You know, they sacrificed. You know, the priest had to wear bells to go up to the Holy of Holies. You know, when Jesus died, it was rented, but he had to wear bells and a rope. You know, if he wasn't sincere when he was presenting the blood from the sacrifice, to God at the Ark of the Covenant, he would be struck dead. So, and then the priest would be like, they'd pull on him, they wouldn't hear the bells, and then they're like, okay, the ceremony's not done, we need another priest, any volunteers? So that's really what happened. Read about it. And there's several instances when people were struck dead by the Ark of the Covenant. But God demonstrated his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ said, this is God himself, the Old Testament God coming as Jesus and dying for us on the cross so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God that's everywhere, all over except in us because we're free moral agents. We choose whether or not to accept him. Next slide. For wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God himself basically came as a person. It's impossible for God to sin. Although as a human, he was tempted. So the human side of him, you know, could be tempted. He was tempted by Satan. But, you know, he died without sin. And so that negated everything. That took away the penalties. He forgave everybody. I think even past. It says he, you know, went into hell or spirit world to preach to people. So he forgave everybody, past, present, and future, everybody that would accept him. And you know, it's sad that not everybody partakes of that. And so that saddens Jesus. You know, while he's on the cross, he knew everybody would not accept him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. She was talking to Roman soldiers. You know, they're splitting his garments and, you know, gambling and stuff while he's dying on the cross. And they give him vinegar to drink. You know, and then they heard that. He was talking to them. He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. Some of them heard that. Next slide. So you must believe and confess. So the moment Jesus died, you know, and there was a thunder, the earthquakes, it was dark, you know, probably some rain. The veil to the temple was rent in half. One of the Roman soldiers saw that and he says, this is the Son of God. Hey, he may have been referring to Zeus. You know, probably wasn't the Hebrew God, but he realized there was something about Jesus. And that's just one of the many times when, they started seeing the light. So we must believe and confess. So if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And, you know, one experience that would be, you know, to be at the tomb, you know, and all of a sudden they see something come down from the sky and, you know, like a flash of lightning and, you know, explosions, a tomb rolls open. You know, by then they're probably unconscious, but, you know, imagine what that would be like. They were frightened. If you believe, which if they didn't believe, that would really surprise me. I think all those guys did eventually. So if you believe and confess, you know, that Jesus is Lord, which means Jesus is God, you know, then you will be saved. And I know there's a Trinity and stuff. I'm more into, you know, unifying the Trinity. But either way you look at it, it's true, you know, the way you understand it. You can separate God more, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's okay, too. The Bible actually teaches both ways. You know, so you can work it out in your mind. And as long as you believe in the Bible, it's true. So I kind of look at them all as one more than a lot of people do. How do we believe, though? Sometimes you have trouble believing. Next slide. We'll get there. So, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's with your heart. You believe with your heart. It's not following the law. You know, so that's the Apostle Paul. He's writing about, you know, how to really get to know God because he was transitioned. Apostle Paul went from the law, you know, where you kill people for God, to the age of grace, which even back then in the age of the law, I don't think God wanted people to kill people for that. It had just gotten to that point. Which that's actually addressed in The Chosen where, you know, they follow the law so much, they're not thinking about people, you know, which God never intended that. Next slide. So So you have to believe, you know, if there's an atheist. Kind of reminds me of, you know, people that don't believe. I've seen soldiers, I've been deployed, and there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Yeah, they start praying to something. They start praying to some God. A lot of things is true with inmates in jail because they don't have anything to do. And one of the few books they can get is a Bible, which they can also get a Torah or a Quran too. But then that's all they got. They don't have any electronics. They can't play around with their phones. They can't go outside. Can't do anything. They're just in a little area. And all they got is to read their Bible. So a lot of them know more than we do because they're reading study Bibles over and over again, plus all the notes. So, you know, choose to accept God. I think everybody here probably has, but, you know, we must choose to accept God, you know, when things are good. Accept God when we have a chance, because there's not always a second chance. Next slide. So God can help us believe, too. That's why I talk to inmates. They're like, I have trouble believing. I'm like, ask God. And I mean, I know a lot of people here have asked God because there's a lot of healings going on, things that science can't explain. But God's showing us He's real. He's constantly affirming our faith. And He does it. He does something, whether big or small, for me even almost every day where I'm like, okay, you did that. I know you did that. But, you know, small, big, healing people of cancer. Several times I've heard about that here. And so I let the inmates know. I'm like, ask God. Say, hey, prove that you're there. Because that's what Jesus says to do. So there's a guy that kept on, a little boy that kept on throwing himself into fire, trying to drown himself, all kinds of stuff. Couldn't speak or hear. Science say it's epilepsy or something. But, you know, whatever it is, there's a spirit behind it. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to your son? The Father said, from childhood. And so he has, I'm glad he pulled his son out of the fire every time he did that. But yeah, that was just going on since childhood. Next slide. Oh, wait, go back. Oh, okay. So he has often cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, help us, have compassion on us. Okay, next slide. So Jesus said to him, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes. So everything can be done for the one who believes. But immediately the father cried, well, I believe, but I really don't. He's like, I believe, but help my unbelief. The father was having trouble believing. He could say he believed, but he really didn't believe. Have you ever done that before? Like tried to, you know, talk to God or even other things. You've tried to believe something, but you just couldn't really go all the way. You could just say, I believe, but you didn't really, it wasn't really inside. So that's where this guy was having trouble. Next slide. Guess what Jesus said to him? When Jesus saw that a crowd came running all together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. So when you tell God that you believe or that you're trying to believe and you say, hey, God, help my unbelief, well, guess what God's going to do? He's going to help us in our unbelief. He's going to help us believe no matter what. So all we have to do is take that little step. God's not the God of other religions where He's off in heaven somewhere and we got to jump through hoops to see. There's one religion that if you do 51% good, you'll go to heaven. But if, you know, if you do 49% good, you're not going to go to heaven. I don't know what they do with the 50-50 thing. I got to look that up. But I mean, it's not just Islam. Other religions believe that. And Jesus is like, no, you're not good. You know, you're not worthy. God's like, you're not worthy at all. But I'm going to do the work for you. I'm going to forgive you anyhow so that all your sins are blotted out. All your sins are taken away. Even if you've done 51% bad things, it's blotted out. And he works with us every day. That's why he says to ask for forgiveness every day. If you let the wrong thing slip out of your mouth or something, pray about it. Any bad habits and they start going away, where you don't do them as much, if not at all. But we're never, ever, ever perfect. So, but God will help us believe. And so that's what he did for that father. He showed the whole crowd that too. He showed the whole crowd that if they're having trouble believing, they can believe. All right, next slide. So, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, you call upon God, like I talk to people, you know, in jail when I'm witness to them, and or even deputies. You know, when you call upon them, God's going to answer you. God's there. Next slide. Because, you know, we're making Him the Lord of our life. But when He's there and when we call upon Him, God's going to come towards us. Just like when Peter was, Jesus walked out on the water and it freaked all those guys out because, they thought he was a ghost. And then Peter was like, hey, I'd like to do that. You know, remember Peter, first pope? Remember Peter? So Peter's like, hey, wow, look at that. I want to do that. And at first he was like so excited about it, he just got out of the boat and walked on the water. But they started losing faith and sinking, and Jesus had to pull him up. And, Jesus didn't say stay in a boat. He permitted that to happen because he knew it would be ridden down. You know, not just that he walked on water, but that a person could, and he'd be pulled up when he needed help. So, when we're sinking, when we're having trouble believing, you say, Lord, help me, just like Peter did. But you call upon God, God's here. So, for from Him and through Him and to Him, all things to Him be the glory of God. So all things go through God. So, guess who those are? Remember His disciples, Peter, James, and John. They're the ones that saw the transfiguration. So, and guess who those were? Moses and Elijah. That's why people think of Revelation, it'll be the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, but that's just an interpretation. I try to stay with the facts, but they think those are the two witnesses maybe. But those are the disciples that saw Him during the transfiguration. They got to see that Jesus actually was really God. So they got to see that. Next slide. So here He is. Jesus is waiting for us to answer His call. He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. And he'll probably have a pork chop too. But yeah, that's what he's doing. He's like, he wants an intimate relationship. And the door represents a heart. That's like your spiritual center. You know, you let God into your... Jesus literally comes inside, into your body. It chases away anything that's bad. Never leaves you. Once you ask Jesus into your heart and forgive your sins, He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. You know, maintain your salvation, you know, praying daily, asking for forgiveness daily, even if we don't know what we did, but usually we do. But that way we stay close to God. Ask God to break down all barriers constantly, because we're always erecting them, because we have that human nature that causes us to sin against God. And also, I go on a Jewish website, it helps me understand the Bible, actually. And they talk about that too. I forgot the Jewish word, but they talk about the nature that's in us that started with Adam and Eve, you know, that we're constantly against God. So, and then they say that's why we have to follow the law, to, you know, strike down that human nature constantly so we can get closer to God. So, yeah, it's interesting. So, that's what He's going to do. He stands at the door and knocks. He comes in and He pushes that human nature away. We're always going to have it. We're always going to fight against God, but He knows that. He knows that. He forgives us, though we know not what we do. Next slide. So, to all who received Him, those who received His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So, We all become the family of God. It's not just the Jews anymore. Everybody. We've become the new chosen people. Everybody that accepts Jesus, you know, we become the family of God. Which he'd like everybody to be part of the family of God. Next slide. Oh man, where are they going? Oh, I think they're going to a fellowship hall. All right, next slide. All right, cool. All right, shall we pray? Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for giving us this message. And we accept you. We accept your forgiveness. And dear God, thank you for being a blessing to us. And help us to remember to let you speak through us when we witness to others. And I think now it's time. I'll do a longer prayer later. That was actually a mistake, but it's okay. My other services, I pray right after the message. But now we're going to do our tithes and offerings.
Rescue, you may save.
I gotta do the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for richly blessing us and helping us be able to give some back. May this used to for your edification, building of your kingdom, may it be used to bring about revival, dear Lord. And so bless these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now we'll have our final hymn, which is Amazing Grace, number 378.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Be with us today. Be with all the Christians in the world that are being persecuted. They're in war zones. You know, go before them. Move the enemy away, dear God. Be with us as we go out and make the enemy mad, as we witness to other people, dear God. Break down all barriers between us and you so that you can flow through us, so we become powerful. We become mighty in your name, and we can start revival, dear God. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for blessing us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.